Hi.
Thanks, Kai.
Hi.
Guys, you guys did a really good job. It's a period piece. Could you, and you guys nailed it. What is your background that you were able to do the language and the costuming and all that? Was it something you're familiar with, the period, or?
Well, we're both trained at drama school, and you get classical training in drama school in Britain, so I'd worked in Greek tragedy, Shakespeare, things like that. So Jacobean language wasn't such a different thing for us to come across, because you're used to reading Shakespeare's and dealing with that kind of language. So it was actually not as hard as it maybe looks for us or us people.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think it was the script was so well written that it was in no way a barrier, the language at all. Mm. It was, you know, to sound simplistic, it was the way they spoke. You know, it felt absolutely right to have that kind of rich, biblical, kind of fire and brimstone kind of language to be... Yeah, the stuff we were talking about, it just all seemed to fit straight away. So it never felt like any kind of barrier. It would have been worse if the language had been more modern. That would have jarred. It felt absolutely right.
It'd have been difficult to make that work more than the actual language of the time.
Did you have to, following up on what he said, did you have to learn a little bit more dialect from that period?
No,
I don't think so. No. So obviously, you can't improvise. It's you can't kind of go, yeah, I kind of know that scene. And I'll
come be hither, and I will.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be more specific about your line learning in a sense. But so it's, you know, it's syllable perfect. So you can't mess around with that. But the language side of it. So a lot of people have mentioned that, and it's always like, well,
we didn't really.
It would have been really odd if that wasn't the case. Yeah. You know, if they didn't speak like that. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you get to say great lines like, you know, did ye make someone holy bond with that goat? You know, who doesn't want to say lines like that? You know, it's fantastic. I want it on a T-shirt. That one.
Yeah, you have to.
So this film is getting a lot of critical praise, which I'm sure has been great to hear. What do you personally think separates this film from other horror stories in the past and makes it such a special, like, warmly received film?
I think it's because we didn't really set out to make a horror movie. I think that's kind of the difference of it, is that from our point of view, it was a family drama. It was like a kitchen sink drama. And that's how it had to be for us. We had to create this family. We had to then tear it apart for the audience to feel what was happening. So for these things to be horrific to the audience, we had to make them love the family and make them convinced that there was that love and that bond in the family.
Yeah, and I think Rob never set out to go, oh, I'm going to scare you in the way, and I'm going to do these jump cuts, and then we're going to do this, and then there's no kind of cheap tricks in the script. So everything that happens for a reason, and it just happens to be horrifying. I've said quite a lot, it reminded me when I read of a Grimm's fairy tale, Hansel and Gretel, Little Red Riding, you know, those kind of old-fashioned stories that just get under your skin, and although maybe not a lot's happening, you're worrying it's going to happen, or you're feeling, and it just taps into, I think, everyone's fears that you have yourself, you know, the fear of the dark, or, you know, so probably every audience member has a little bit of a different experience depending on what frightens you, because nothing's kind of going, you'll feel this or this. I know towards the end it gets a bit mad.
I think the kind of directors that Robert likes and admires and that kind of thing, they're not from the horror movie tradition of the last kind of 30 years. You know, there's, you know, your Kubricks and your Bergmans and this kind of stuff. It's much from that kind of period. So, you know, it sets it apart from a lot of your modern horrors.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So when you met the first time, the director... And you were in the street of Rosa before. What do you think about it, to get into this adventure? A director was at his first feeling.
Yeah.
So I mean,
but in the hands of a surprise.
Yeah, we did get, and I questioned Rob, having never made a feature before, because his script was so wonderful and so great. I was like, wow. I literally felt I'd leapt into 16:30 and was in that world. And then I went for an audition. Ralph had been cast. I did some workshops with Ralph and Rob, and Rob is so divine and clever and committed, and there was nothing to question about him at all. You just felt you're in very safe hands with someone who knew exactly what they wanted and what they were doing. He doesn't feel like a first-time feature.
And he's one of these people that all these directors, well, say one of these, he's the only one I've ever worked with, quite to the extent.
And I believe when he chose you, he knew what he can get from you.
I would imagine that he has. He's incredibly, and people want to, because you can't help but notice when you read the scripts, when he sent out a lookbook with lots of pictures and wood etchings from the period and all this kind of stuff. You get such an idea that he's so confident in his vision, he knows exactly what he wants. And I've never worked on a set where everybody on set is just desperate to do Rob's vision.
Yeah,
it's not they're not trying to make their costumes great and get their nomination for costumes that year or whatever department they're working in. Everybody's working together to do Rob's vision. And
it was incredible, feeling through the whole crew of people like. I mean, at one point we were still supposed to be in winter and the berries had appeared, and there was literally like our producer, everyone picking berries from trees to try and make it look winter,
to make
you know.
It not look like spring had broken, you know, there's people running around doing
it. Like just picking, like getting rid of the greener, you know. And that was throughout. I mean, you know, there wasn't a lot of like, oh, this is my department, you do this and that. It was like a team come together going, we are going to make this movie for this man and we'll do it to the best of our ability. So,
lots of very experienced people, you know, Gadge, the camera operator. Yeah. You know,
so you had to be free to express your character.
We did a lot of collaborating, a lot of chat, and he was very interested in your thoughts and your, you know, thought processes. It wasn't like you'll do this and you'll do this at all.
We did it we did a lot of that work, the character work, before we got to set. To be honest,
did you do a rehearsal?
Yes, we had a week's rehearsal before we started, which was invaluable, especially to build the relationships with the kids and to get them to trust us and all of that. It was really important.
I noticed that it was emotional. Like that was the thing that stood out to me. For a horror movie, I didn't expect it to be that emotional. Mm-hmm. How was that for you to work with the kids and that level of emotion?
It was very draining, wasn't it? It was really tiring.
It was very intense. But again, it became such a way of the way we lived there and the way we worked that no one questioned it. And even the kids, I mean, the kids were never aware of the movie we were making, the young kids. Lucas thought we were rehearsing for a play and kept asking Ralph, when do we do the play?
When we do the play, because he thought every day was a rehearsal. We were rehearsing this bit, and at the end we'd perform it. And he had no concept of it.
And Ellie had more awareness because Ellie's older, even though she's the same height as Lucas. She'd read the script, but they were just, it was more of a fun thing for them. Nothing was ever seen for them,
Rob was a great puppet master in the fact that he, you know, he'd be next to the camera and there'd be no witches or anything, but in the scene where they're supposed to be watching it, he'd be going, okay, so look up here, and he'd move his hand down like that, and he'd go, now breathe through your mouth, now breathe faster. Open your eyes more, and all these kind of things. He would be like guiding them, like a puppet master. So we got these incredible performances out of the kids. It's the open line.
I thought it was a witch.
Maybe.
Are you okay?
So the kids never saw anything remotely scary or were scared.
Twins?
Yeah, all right, I wasn't there that day.
Yeah.
All right,
yes. One disappeared.
Yeah, they were newborn twins. The mother was great. She was great. They came and had a good day in set. But there was just a lovely atmosphere of let's make this film to the best of our ability and give this story the sort of gravitas it deserves. And the emotion side of it was great because there were so many emotions going on with the family dynamics and the sad things that had happened, which is just like a great thing for you want to get your teeth into the emotions as well. It was intense,
yeah,
for
it
sure.
It was very intense. But I was saying the last bit with it, a lot of the style of the performance comes from Kate, as opposed to the rest of us, because she works in a very intense and very truthful way. And I decided very early on that that was the way I was going to go. I was going to follow her. And we all kind of did as a family and the kids. And we kind of almost taught the kids that this is the way to do it. And so there was an intensity in it and a truth to the way we all worked, which is perhaps different from, or is very different from the way a lot of actors work, a lot of film sets work.
It was a
work.
Perfect equilibrium on the dynamic of everything. I think actors, they work on the stages. They have a different.
Speaking of that, I like to read credits. And I noticed you guys had a mental health counselor.
I saw that on the credits as well. I was like, really? I could have done with that. I don't know.
Maybe that was for the goats.
Yeah.
So you didn't know they were on set.
Or maybe when I had to breastfeed the raven, maybe I was for that.
And obviously, the kids had tutors because they had to do a certain amount of schooling all the time. So that might well help the. The tutor may well have been a qualified mental health counsellor. It might have been that. But I don't remember ever seeing a mental health counsellor, although I probably could have done with it.
Maybe the mental health counsellor was getting counselling.
So I have a couple of questions. So the forest, right? Mm. It's so big and stuff, and it seemed like there was only like a few people on set. Was that kind of scary? Because forest in itself is pretty crazy.
We had to do a bear. You know, there were bears were in the woods and stuff. We had to do like a bear, what do you call
banger.
It, exercise.
Banger.
Oh, there was
banger.
A banger, and we had to check, you know, if this goes off, we all run to this point. It means there's a bear, you know.
It's like a handheld firework.
Because bear season is starting. So nobody wandered from set or went off. You know, if you're going to go and say, I'm going to go and think about my character, you stayed very close because there's wild animals in the forest.
Did you spend the night there?
No, we never did.
No, we didn't actually.
And then something else you touched upon, how is it breastfeeding a crow?
Raven.
A raven, yes.
The best thing for your nipples, shall I say. It was the freakiest thing I have ever filmed in my life because the raven was big and we
powerful
put food down there and it went and it managed to rip the prosthetic
metal breastplate, wasn't it? Prosthetic breasts on the top. And it just picked.
Yeah, it managed to
rip
the
prosthetics a bit.
So I kind of wanted to be a little more loving with the raven, but I was like, I'm kind of scared.
But I wasn't in that scene, obviously, and I was walking from the unit base off onto set, and it was a beautiful, peaceful, calm place to be. I was walking to set and getting into character, preparing myself for the scene I was about to do. And it was kind of unnaturally quiet. I thought, they must be turning over inside the house. So I walked up, and I got to about 30 yards in front of the house. Suddenly, all the doors of the house just sprung open, and all the crew and everybody just ran out, going, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" I didn't know what they were filming. They went out, and then Kate runs out and comes running up to me, blood all down on this kind of shredded rubber prosthetic breast and metal breastplate. All kind of going, "Oh!" And it was just this huge hysteria of all the whole crew. Everybody going, "Oh my God! You're not going to believe what we just seen her do."
It was mental, but see when someone says you're not going to be able to do that, I go, oh yeah, I can. So
the mental health counselor.
I think the raven may have had counselling.
Kate's incredibly arachnophobic, and there's a point where she has to get in the grave. She has to climb into Caleb's grave, and obviously it's absolutely full of spiders. But put her into character. And she forgets all her fears. It's
so
really
weird.
She, if there was a spider in here,
if
now,
there was spider,
she would cry.
I would upend the
she
table.
She would run away and she would cry. But if she was in character, she'd be able to pick it up.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
That was strange because before that scene, I was like, clear the grave. You can't be a spider, and they were like, oh no, how do we get rid of spiders in the grave? Anyway, they've cleared it. It's cleared. And then they were there, and it was so strange because you just go into such a dark, kind of deep place. That you're just not you anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not really. It sounds really pretentious, but it's true.
I thought it was commitment. That's proper.
Yeah.
Well, after that scene, we were in a
You were expecting to see the...
No, I was...
I should have brought the raven.
The scene reminded me of the old Omen films.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
The Gregory Peck?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the classic horror when that, you know...
Yeah.
I think nominated for a lot of...
Yeah.
But I think this film obviously very different, but it's a similar kind of of horrific...
What about the second one? What attacked
you?
What?
The evil. Oh, attack the
ghost. How they convince him to run against them?
Oh, well, yeah, we did. We had to cheat a little bit on that, and we had to have some had to cast the horns. Had to make a plaster cast of the ghost horns, which is quite funny watching people casting the ghost horn. So just for the close-up, we had to do that. So we had to cheat a little bit around that.
You've got the cast.
Yeah,
you took the horns home.
Yeah.
And one trick that I like that Rob did is they use the little moment before Black Phillip hits. You hear of him going, and they used the Clydesdales hoops for the sound design of that to make it sound even more.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
The wardrobe of that period, especially for women, were like really. Heavy
the wardrobe,
you know, it's kind of. You think you could live that period?
Oh, as a woman, I don't know. I mean, you have no. At that point, I had no decision making myself, either to defer to my husband or to God. And actually, I'm not a good Puritan in the movie because I question everything. I'm crying. I'm not happy. And actually, I should just be saying this is God's will. Really difficult to be a woman. I'm difficult enough to be a woman now, but then I don't know how you manage. I just don't know how they lived because it was so difficult. All the work, the housework, and the practicalities of getting water and feeding, and then not allowed to have any opinion really of your own, or you know, really difficult. I would be burned as a witch.
I think that's a fair comment.
Well, it would be hard.
The director mentioned that, you mentioned it, that now he has a lot of classic influences like with Murnau and German Expressionism and Kubrick. Did you revisit any older movies or characters or performances by specific actors to help you influence you now? Or
no.
Was it all just inside
it was
of
all,
you?
It was so much in the script. I think it would have muddied things as well if you'd started trying to get references.
Mm-hmm.
Certain research on a period, but not on other filmic work or other actors' performances. I'd try and avoid that as much as I can. Unless it's specifically maybe for an accent that you might be hearing over in speech rhythms. But no, I wanted to keep it special
as to that
family.
Mm-hmm. More like, it just more reminded me of things like Grimm, you know, the fairy stories like Hansel and Gretel, and that's more what it kept drawing me to, like old written stories. Because it just had such a feel, but I think it would have... Yeah, it didn't even enter my head to do anything like that because it was such a specific script.
Right.
And I couldn't think... I can't think of any other film that would be helpful, really, if that sounds odd, but...
No. I think, it seemed very real, their family, their relationships, their interpersonal things. It seemed very real and always struck me as quite modern.
Mm-hmm.
Or very identifiable for me is the relationship that we have.
Yeah. And do you have a new project going on?
Well, I've got another movie coming out just after this called Couple in a Hole, another strange one. Couple living in a hole in the ground, and it's a love story and it's about grief and loss. So that comes out in April. I've got that coming out.
I quite a lot of TV stuff. I've just been working on Peaky Blinders and a new series for Netflix called The Crown, which is about the British royal family. So
did you train your voice,
I
guess?
Did I what, sir?
Did you train your voice?
No, it's all genetic. I get it from my grandmother.
I love it. He gets it from his grandmother.
Oh, that's
my grandmother. She was 5'11", which for a woman of her generation was huge, and she looked a bit like me. She had the big nose. She speaks like this, or she used to speak like this as well. So yeah, it's a hereditary thing.
Or a poser.
Italiano.
Thanks for coming.